Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Free from the burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power in the power. Wonder working power in the blood. Come on, yes, there. Wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I say there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood. Oh, of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Aren't you glad about that? Say amen. Amen, amen. Brother Mike, lead us in prayer, would you please, sir?
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you, Father, for all your blessings. And Lord, we thank you for your grace that you give us on a day-by-day basis. And Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and way in this service. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. I pray that you would meet the needs of your people and change lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I just got informed to sing something else, all right? So I gotta find the page. 346, page 346 now. Let's sing it. Sing it out.
Is real.
victory. I'd sing it one more time. Sing it. I know. Aren't you glad about that?
My name.
Amen. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I had this song on my heart for 2 or 3 days now. I wanted William to do it. Hadn't done it in a while. Thanking God for all he's done. And I don't know, I think it's this time of year, every year, get thinking about God's blessings. Coming up on our 36th. Anniversary in just a few weeks. 36 years. Now God's blessed us here at Westside Baptist Church. We've had good times, we've had bad times, but through it all, his blessings always been evident and always been there. And I love this song, For All He's Done. Pray for him.
Every day when I wake to see the sun, I can't help to think about the Lord and all the things he's done. He meets my every need. You know he's been so good to me, and I can't help to praise the Lord for all he's done. For all and I can't help praise the Lord for all he's done. There are many things that I could praise God for. And if I started now until I die, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank him for his son. And now that's enough to praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'll try to live my life to please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun. And I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'll try to live my life to please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun. And I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun. And I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done.
failures, when I consider all the times I let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I can never
or much, I still feel your touch. Feel your touch, your Some have called you Lord, but now they serve another. Two worldly things their heart has pledged its loyalty.
God be the glory. Great things He has done. He's God today. You tell that atheistic crowd, get over it. He's still Lord. Those God haters that don't want God around, tell them, don't worry, pretty soon they won't have to worry about us any longer. Amen. The psalmist said, by the way, the Holy Spirit knows how to redirect a service. Spent several hours preparing a message, and God shook it up in 15 minutes. The 23rd Psalm, my heart has settled in on just a few minutes ago. The Lord is my shepherd. We could stop right there and go home when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is our shepherd today. When we think about that and we realize that we're just a sheep in His pasture. As this great psalm that the psalmist David recorded that day, as his heart was poured out to the worship of God, as our hearts have been this morning, he realized where God had brought him from, what He was bringing him through, and where He was carrying him to. When we look back at our past life and realize what God has brought us out from, and we look at our present life and see what we're going through, And then we look at our future destination and see where we're headed to. I want to tell you this morning, we as believers, we have a right to shout glory to God today. Because it's all about Him. It's not about us. We are so insignificant. We're just mortal dust. But He's God today. And you know what makes the difference in each one of us today? We're just flesh and bone. But the Holy Spirit is living within us. And that makes us a somebody today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I realize going through life, there's a lot of things that face us in our daily walk. Trying times, hard times, troublesome times, times that we get on our face before God and plead our case to the throne room. But the psalmist said, I shall not want. You see, the psalmist had already realized, that great man David had already realized that his strength was not in himself or his own abilities as a military person or as even the king. He realized that no matter what position or station he had in life, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I want to tell you today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're facing the crisis in your life, remember this one thing. God knows where you're at. And God knows what you're going through. And my dear friend, as the little plaque says, He will bring you through it. He's an on-time God today. He's never made a mistake. I don't even believe He knows how to spell mistake. He's God. The psalmist, he goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. He says, He maketh me. Hey, listen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, when we look at that pastoral scene, if you have been raised in the country as I was and know what a pasture is and how lovely and beautiful a pasture can be in the springtime of the year. As he looked around those green pastures and realized that there was substance for the sheep, there was plenty for the sheep. And if there was plenty for the sheep, then the sheep would be the provider for him. But listen to me, I want to tell you, God will supply your needs today. He will meet every need in your life. You say, well, now, Brother Melvin, I sure would like to have a new car. If you've got a good one running, you better thank God for it. It could conk out on you. And you could have a big mechanic bill. But I want to tell you, God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And He knows your financial and physical needs today. And even, hey, listen, He even knows your family needs today. Families are reeling and rocking. In my ministry, and as I go about and see, and even not beyond this church, the church family, people that talk to me about their family needs, Satan is attacking the home. The home is under satanic attack today. Satan would like to tear up the home today. He would like to turn the husband against wife, wife against husband, and the children against home. Satan would like to destroy your home today. As a home goes, so goes the nation, one great philosopher said. As the home goes, so goes the nation. Well, look around us. Would you not say, this is what's happening in America today? When the home was strong, I remember at the end of World War II, the British government, after we had won the war, America had been so instrumental in bringing the war to a close and rescuing the European nations, bringing them back out of poverty, even helping them by raising food over here and shipping it over there so they'd even have food on their table. The government sent a team of men over to America. Because while the American soldiers were over there in England, they saw there was a difference. There was a difference in their lifestyle, their moral standards, the way that their demeanor and the way they conducted themselves. And so that committee was sent to go across America and make a survey and come back and give a report. after they did that and they went back? They were asked, well, just tell us what your report is. Very simple report. It's a very simple thing we got to say. There was God, country, home, mom, and apple pie. You see what they were looking at. They were looking at the heart of America. If they were to send a committee over today to look at us, I wonder what they would see. They would see a nation upside down, turned in and out, upheaval. First of all, that God was the first thing that they noticed in America. They noticed the moral standards, and the moral standards came from their devotion to God, their relationship with God, their devotion to the church. But today, isn't it sad that we have a God in heaven that loves us so much that he came all the way from glory down to an old sinful world that he created, to a man that he created, to die on a cross, to redeem him from a condition that man had created, and to save him and give him a home in heaven after this life. Go back and prepare a place for us and tell us he's coming back again. Only to have this world stick their fingers in their ears and say, I don't believe there's a God. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? That's the question. Is he your shepherd today? Listen, don't trust church membership. I can tell you for a fact, church membership does not work. When I was about 12 years of age, I was coerced into joining the church and being baptized. I was carried through the little steps and through the and well-meaning people. They were well-meaning. They were concerned about me, but you see, I really had not been convicted of my sinful life, my sin nature. I was baptized, joined the church, and I want to tell you, I lived a good moral Christian from 12 years of age till 19 years of age. But at 19 years of age, God arrested my soul. And I want to tell you, for one solid month, he let me hang out over the flames of hell. I don't have time to describe what God put me through. Because you see, he had to get that thing out of me that I was a church member and let me know that there was a living God in heaven and that there was a real hell and it's hot. And the only way I was going to ever get to escape hell and be into heaven was to receive Jesus as a personal relationship, not a commitment to a church. 14 Collier Road, 19 years of age. I've given you my testimony so many times. Driving home from the work that day. Under such conviction, I was so afraid that I'd just die before I got to the house. Got out of my car, went straight back to those boulders where they was building 85 highways north, right beside the house where I lived. Got behind those boulders over there, and I cried, help, Lord. If you don't save me now, you might as well kill me because I could not be any more miserable. Guess what? Got up from there praying. I said, well, I don't guess God's going to save me. But they was having revival service at Deep Four Avenue Baptist Church. I said, well, I might as well just get ready and go on back to church. Go to revival service. Nothing's going to happen to me. But when I walked into that bathroom, there was somebody else in the room. And the Holy Ghost came into my heart. And I was birthed into the family of God that day. There is a difference. It makes a difference. And I want to tell you, when you get a real dose of salvation, you'll walk the walk. I won't have to beg you to come to church. Won't have to beg you to live for God. Won't have to beg you. God will put it in your heart. The Holy Spirit will be so real in your heart that you'll have that desire, that want to be faithful to God. The Lord is my shepherd. What about you today? Is the Lord your shepherd today? Can you really, truly say, I have been born again? Can you really say that? It's so important. Folks, I'm not going to get on prophecy, but I want to tell you, time's running out. Time's short. The Lord's coming. When he comes, where are you going? Which direction are you going to be in? I don't have time to tell you all of my conversion experience, and I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit has led me in this direction, so let me share with you. Going back to the days before my salvation experience, I never will forget. One night, I don't know whether I was dreaming, I don't know what had happened, I don't know what was going on, but it's during the night in bed. I dreamed, and I'll just say it's a dream, that I was falling down a deep, long tunnel. And hey, listen, it was so real to me. I remember it. I can experience, I can feel it right now. That I was falling down a deep, long tunnel in the earth. And I was going around and I could see the lights of flames leaping out around. The corner that I'm about to make a turn to, and I believe that God was showing me, giving me a little glimpse of what hell would be like. I remember just as if it was yesterday. Even though I was asleep and it was in the dream, the next day it was vivid as if it was reliving it. All through these years, God's let it stay with me for a purpose. Just before I was going around, I said, help, Lord. And all of a sudden, I woke up. God was dealing with me, Brother Joe, because God knew he had a work for me to do. And I had to have it nailed down. I had to have it sure that I was born again. Because when he was going to call me into the ministry to preach the gospel, I had to know for a fact that God was in the business and it wasn't flesh and blood that was doing it. Folks, we take God so nonchalantly. So many times we let our personal lives come in between us and God. Some has come on when it's coming around the corner, but some has come on. So many let pleasure interfere with God. Did you know that every one of us who are saved, we're going to stand before holy God one day? The Bible says this, and the records are going to be read. There's a lot of things on my record that I'm going to have to face. I know that. But I want to tell you, there's one thing that'll be on my record, and that is faithful. Faithful. You see, when you put God first in your life, the rest of your life falls into place and God blesses your life. But when you get distracted and you begin to look at the things of the world, they seem to be attractive. That's Satan's work on you. That's his path trying to distract you. He cannot steal your salvation, but he sure can mess up your walk and your testimony. He can mess up your influence on somebody else's life. That's why it's so important, Christians, that we be faithful to God today. That's the very reason that God wants us to be faithful. It's not that he's so demanding that he wants our attention all the time and he does not want to have a good time and enjoy life, I want to tell you. I'll be honest with you. I think I've had a better time in my life after I got saved than it was before I got saved. God's been good to this old man. Look around what God has done here. I walk in this church, Brother Alton, and I stand amazed. I say, Lord, how did all this stuff get here? How did all this come about? How did it get here? Wonderful people. How did all this get here? Loving people. Sweet people. I lost all this skinny. So it wasn't me. But I know there's a God in heaven, and he did it all. When we give him the glory and don't take honor to ourselves, you see, then we're able to have something to cast at his feet. Cast him at his feet while we're down here, and then when we get up there, we'll have him to be in his presence and cast our crowns at his feet. Oh, that five crowns of war, that's another message for another day. I'll let Brother Alton, Brother Joe, Brother Alton over here preach that message. Five crowns of reward. I won't be up there. I don't know how many crowns I'll get. I'll tell you this in closing. I won't be strutting around over heaven wearing five crowns if I get all five, Brother Joe. Fact of business, it'd be hard to put, I don't know how we'd stack them on top of each other. I guess that's how you come to it. Some folk will get five crowns. But I want something given to me that I can give back to him. Because you see, the Bible says that we're not going to keep these crowns and wear them. There's going to be a praise service in heaven. And the Bible clearly says in the book of Revelation, we are going to cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus, the one who justly deserves them. You have a crown to cast. I believe one of the crowns that is most important is faithful, the faithful crown, being faithful. In closing, and this message has been straight from heaven, because what I've given you is what God has given me to give to you. I did not have it outlined. I did not have it studied. I've been spending 3 days on an outline that God says no and turned it all around upside down over Ms. Lomax's song. But I want to tell you something. All he asks of us is faithfulness. You know what the devil wants? He wants to put things in your path to appeal to your flesh, not to your spirit. God puts things in your path to appeal to your spirit, not to your flesh. And you have to be the decider. You see, there's a position over here on Satan's side of slackness and lackness. There's a position on this side of God and faithfulness. And you're in between. There's a vote that takes place. And there's not but one person that can cast that vote. That's you. You have to decide who you're going to follow. The Bible says, God says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As we see the conditions in America deteriorating, God is sending out the message to his people. You'd better start choosing. You'd better start choosing. It's going to get rough. It's going to get worse. The church is going to go out. It was birthed in the flames, and it's going out in the flames. But I tell you, upon the authority of the Word of God, we are winners either way. We're saved, folk. Main line is, and the bottom line is, are you saved? Don't say I'm a member of Westside Baptist Church. I've told you so many times, I'll tell it again. The angels are not going to go to Gene Farmer's house and ask for the roll book. But there is a roll book in heaven. And the Bible says that everybody's name is written down on one roll book. And then there's the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's where our names are written down as believers. My challenge today is simply this, in closing. Christian, it's time we got beyond letting the flesh control our life. It's time we got beyond letting the things of this world dictate our life. And I might as well go and say, oh, let me, I don't want to get on that school. Dear Lord, I don't want to get on that stuff this morning. That's a message for another day. But you will agree with me. America's in a mess. You'll agree with me. This world is in a mess. And you know what? All of that is in the book. All of that is in the book. In closing, my challenge to church, it's time to quit playing and start living it. Every head bowed and every eye closed.